Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern, and what a show that I have for you today. So, you know how I know how all of you love to go to different cat events, like, you know, CatCon, WhiskerCon, and all these different cons that involve cats. So my guest today, and I've never quite done a show like this, so I'm super excited. My guest today is the show organizer of WhiskerCon that is coming up in Savannah, Georgia. And I also have Dr. Lisa Rodosta, who is a veterinary behaviorist. So this is going to be an amazing show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I would like to welcome Dr. Lisa Rodosta, a veterinary behaviorist, and Katie Cohen, who is the organizer of WhiskerCon Savannah, Georgia. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Yeah.
Thrilled to have you. We have cat lovers on Catitude, and they go to different shows or cat events. Sometimes they're large events, sometimes small, like even at a cat cafe. But WhiskerCon is going to be really excited. So, Katie, you're organizing this show, and what can you tell our listeners that might be new to cat conventions, the best way to find out about different events, like, say, WhiskerCon, and I forgot some in my intro, CatCon, Pop Cats. I'm sure there's more I'm forgetting, but how can people find out about these events?
Well, that's a really good question, because I'm actually brand new to all of these events as well. I went to my first one in Florida in January, and this whole thing just kind of snowballed, and I had never even heard of cat conventions before, and I'm a cat lover. And so the more research that I did, and after attending my first one, I found a lot of the marketing and places you would find them is mostly on social media. If you follow certain vendors or certain cat celebrities, like Hannah Shaw, for instance, you know, they'll always post whenever they're attending a convention. And I think that's the easiest way. Personally, I'm sure you could Google or reach out to your local humane society or rescues, and they would probably know that as well. And I would think they'd be publicizing that as well.
Okay. And I have to ask you, I know you're a fellow cat lover. So how many and what type and their names?
Well, it depends what day you ask me. Today, because I'm really busy planning this, I only have my own cats. I have Coral and Beluga, two Gingers, and I have a dog. But on any given day when I don't have this going on, I have an incubator and I run a bottle baby program for neonatal kittens. And so you never know what's going to be in my house.
So you can really relate to Hannah Shaw then.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, her and the other guests that you have coming up. So what makes WhiskerCon Savannah unique compared to, and by the way, I've been to Savannah, Georgia a few times, and it is beautiful. It's an amazing city. So what makes WhiskerCon Savannah unique, besides the city, compared to other feline-focused events that are around the country?
So as I've said, I've only been to two, so I'm basing my facts on those. So I'm sure there's a lot more out there that I haven't been exposed to, but ours is being hosted with our nonprofit rescue, One Love Animal Rescue. So any extra funds and ticket sales and things like that that come in will go right back into our community to help our local animals. So I don't know if they're normally run like that or not, but for us, that's how we're putting it on. And I'm also putting a big focus on education. I've been with my son growing up, I would go to the local schools and I would bring in the little neonatal kittens and teach kids about them and teach them how to measure, how to use a scale and things like that, and just get them accustomed to learning more. A lot of children are afraid of cats, so that really helped change things. And I just feel like if you start with the children and get the education in with them, it's just going to work its way up. So we are going to have interesting things going on with a little Whiskers Cat Academy put on by one of my veterinary hospitals that I go to, and teaching the kids about spay and neuter and different things for cats that they would need to know as kids just growing up, and the importance of spay and neuter. So for to me, I didn't really see a lot of children's education type things at the other conventions I went to, but to me, that's a big focus.
You know, I think you're right on, because how many times do us as adults learn from kids?
Yeah.
I'm not talking just social media or, you know, video games and stuff, but we could actually learn a lot from them. And I think it's a great opportunity to educate them about cats and kittens. What about the vibe? Because a lot of people listening have not been to a cat show before, and we hope as many as possible can make it to WhiskerCon in Savannah, Georgia. But if they can't, what can someone who's attending a cat show for the first time, what can they expect, you know, the experience to be? And I know you've only been to a couple. You might have talked to other people that have gone to more, but what is it like?
To me, I'm still feeling the vibe from my last one that I just went to in October in New Jersey, Catsbury Park. And walking into an event like that for the first time is kind of like saying, these are my people. You see everyone around you, they have cat ears on, they're wearing, you know, clothes with cat designs on them. Everybody's happy and in a good mood and cheerful and friendly, and everyone's talking to everyone. I met so many people the last time I went. That's probably the best part about this convention so far, all the incredible people that I've met. It's just a very uplifting experience to be around people that love something just as much as you do. You know, you think you love your cat more than anyone can ever love a cat, but I'm pretty sure you love your cat the same way I do love mine. And so it's very, very uplifting and fun to be in a positive environment like that with people that feel the same way you do.
Okay, thanks. You mentioned one of the hidden gems at WhiskerCon, which is the event that you're putting on to educate children. Are there any other hidden gems that first-time visitors should look out for?
Well, to me, I think our Little Whiskers Cat Academy is really going to be a gem. We're trying to make it really fun for the kids. They'll get a little lab coat when they come in. They'll get a little stuffed kitty, and they'll learn how to put on bandages and do all different types of fun things with the vet techs that are putting it on. And then they'll get a little certificate that they've completed the cat course and get a little photo taken with the vet tech that's there with them. To me, I think that's the cutest thing, one of the cutest things we're doing. And another thing that we're doing that may be different from other conventions is we're having a 2-hour neonatal kitten class with Hannah Shaw, just to teach more medical type things. In our city, as far as I know, with the just local rescues, I'm the only person who knows how to tube feed a kitten. And so I get calls all the time to take in kittens, and I can't have 20 bottle babies in my house at once. That's just too much for my lifestyle. So that's how the whole thing started, is I needed people to want to learn how to tube feed, among other things. And that way I won't be alone out here. I want to help with education so more people can do this. So I think this class is going to be a diamond for, as far as I'm concerned, for this convention.
Okay. And I know Hannah Shaw is going to be at the show. I've had Hannah Shaw on the show. And I know another guest that you have to be at your show, Sterling Davis, has also been on Catitude. And they both do amazing work. Ingrid Johnson of Fundamentally Feline is a cat behaviorist. I have not had the pleasure of having her on Catitude, but those are your three guests. I know why you chose Hannah, but you can tell me why you chose, you know, each of them. And do you have any other guests that I miss?
Yes. So I started with Hannah because I wanted I just wanted Hannah to come and help teach people how to tube feed and train people to properly take care of neonatal kittens. So that was my intention of starting this. And then it all snowballed into all of these other speakers coming because it became a bigger event. I went to an event in Florida, Space Cats, and spoke to that event organizer. And she said, well, in order to put this whole thing on and to have speakers, you're going to need vendors and that'll help you pay for that. And so next thing I know, it went from Hannah Shaw coming to Sterling Davis to come and talk about the importance of TNR. I think it's a huge problem in Savannah. There's a lot of old thinking where they think if you just trap the cats and take them away, that's going to solve your problem. Or unfortunately, some people trap them and euthanize them and that doesn't solve the problem. So I really felt bringing him here to help educate the public as well as some of the trappers how to trap cats properly. I've seen a lot of cats that have not been trapped properly, left alone in traps for too long. And so we just want to make sure everyone's learning and doing things the right way. Ingrid, I wanted to come because as Lisa knows, behavior is very, very to my heart. I love cat behavior and, you know, helping cats not develop behavior problems will also keep them out of shelters. So many cats are given up because they do have a behavior issue that most times can be prevented, but people just don't know what they need. So she'll be talking about litter boxes and she'll be talking about environmental enrichment. Then I also have Sally Williams coming from Mission Meow. Not sure if you know them.
Know them. Yep.
Yeah, they're incredible nonprofit. They work with business partners and every month they collect donations from business partners and then they give out grants to small cat rescues across the country. And I met her when I went to the convention in Florida and she was an incredible person and she has started a new initiative with Sterling Davis called One United Paw. And that basically is called that because they want to collaborate over competition. So you see a lot of rescues that they don't work with each other or this rescue just does this and this one does that too, but they do it a different way. And so they're talking about cutting down the drama and just working together because we can get so much more done if we all work together instead of separately. So I thought it was really important to have them speak about that as well. I also have another speaker. Her name is Nina Leopold. She is a behavior consultant in South Carolina in Hilton Head. And I came across her accidentally a couple months ago on Facebook. She had this cat, Flounder, and Flounder uses the speech buttons. And the video I watched, she was showing this cat telling her that there was a leak in her bathroom.
Oh my
God. Sure enough, she went into the bathroom and there was a leak. I couldn't believe it when I saw it myself. I'm new to these buttons. I didn't know anything about this. And I was just shocked when I saw how this cat was communicating and I really wanted to learn more about it. So I thought I'd invite her to come talk so we can learn a little bit more about that. Very interesting. And then the last person I have talking, she's from a nonprofit called Traps. It's a new nonprofit in Savannah and it's fantastic. It helps unite people that have lost their pets. In Savannah, we have a lot of people who travel here or pass through here on 95. And right off the highway, there's cats get lost there so often. And so this rescue now will help with drones and cameras and different types of traps for cats and dogs to help reunite them with their pet parents. So I'm very excited about that as well.
You have great guests.
Thank you.
It's going to be a good show. Lisa, you're a veterinary behaviorist. So from a veterinary behaviorist perspective, what should people keep in mind when visiting a show with, you know, meet and greet cats or maybe therapy cats?
Yeah. So, you know, Katie's show, WhiskerCon, is different. It's educational. But I think a lot of pet parents want to go to shows where they're going to see cats. And so what I would ask them to do is be a little critical, or maybe a little objective might be a better word. So educate yourself first on cat body language. And we know from the studies, at least done in dogs, that pet parents, even really experienced pet parents, aren't able to read body language as well as we would like them to be able to. So you can go to my YouTube channel, but a better spot than my channel would be to go to Battersea, Batterseesea. They've got a really nice cat body language section of their website. They're in the UK. So, you know, I encourage people to kind of educate themselves first. And then when you go to the show, it's very tempting because the cats are gorgeous, right? And who doesn't want to pet a cat? But step back and look at the body language and see if you can see, is that cat really comfortable? Because often the person handling the cat will say, he's fine, right? You see this at dog shows too, by the way. And you might step back and go, gosh, that cat looks really uncomfortable. His tail's thumping, or his head's turned away and he will not look directly at me, or his pupils are really round. Cat pupils should be like slits or almonds. So, you know, educate yourself and really be objective when you go to these shows, and you will learn a ton about cat behavior.
You know, you bring up some good points about behavior. And one of my favorites, where it goes to in my head, is I've attended, now this is a little different, of course, Global Pet Expo, but it was actually from a service dog. Now, I know they're service cats, but, you know, you shouldn't pet them. And I was interviewing someone who had a service dog in this case. I said, your dog's beautiful, but I'm not going to touch him because I know, you know, better than that. And he said, thank you. He goes, you'd be surprised how many parents will go ahead and pet my dog or try to pet my dog and tell the kids, you're not supposed to pet the dog, and then go ahead and touch them. Because people can come with their feline friends, their feline companions, right? And some might have therapy cats with them.
Exactly. Yes.
It just depends. Ours won't have cats at ours, but I did see exactly what Lisa was just talking about at another convention I was at. The cat was looking away, wouldn't make eye contact, the eyes were dilated, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like put that cat back in the carrier. Like, it's just too much sometimes. I feel like sometimes the pet parents of these cats that they're bringing around need to be a little bit more educated on how that cat is actually feeling in that moment and not what they want.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Katie and Lisa. Katie is the show organizer of WhiskerCon in Savannah, Georgia. But we're also talking with Lisa, who is a veterinary behaviorist. And we're talking, too, about, you know, if you can't make it to WhiskerCon Savannah, Georgia, hey, you're going to miss out. But please check out, you know, cat shows in your area. So, Katie, what would you say the core mission or purpose behind WhiskerCon is, and maybe other similar feline events?
Well, I can speak to ours, and the purpose is to just reduce the amount of cats that are entering shelters and rescues. If we can work with TNR and reduce the feral cat population, that'll reduce the number of neonatal kittens that I need to take care of. Spay-neuter information really isn't out there like you think it is. I've seen on my island social media pages, the people will take, they'll have a cat, it gets pregnant, and they give all the kittens away, and nobody gets fixed, nobody gets their shots. And so I really want to try to reduce the population of people giving kittens out like that. If they fix them first by working with the rescue and letting the rescue take care of that for them, I think it would really help drastically reduce the population of cats in Savannah.
Okay, thanks. How do these shows support the local rescues, the small businesses, and the broader cat community?
So for our local rescues are all being invited to the show. I didn't see that at the other shows that I've been to, maybe one rescue or two. I've invited all our local rescues to be represented in Hairball Hallway. And I just wanted to give them opportunity to reach out to the public because they're all in different areas of the city. Savannah's a big area, so I just wanted them to have the opportunity. And the small business owners are very excited about it. We have a lot of vendors that are coming. We have small businesses that have donated things to us, and they're going to get marketing benefits from us. And we're also doing interviews for social media with different businesses in Savannah that have shop cats. So I think it's going to be a really great boost for everyone in the area.
I think so, too. Do you hope for long-term benefits such as more cat adoptions? Definitely there's going to be more education or maybe stronger community engagement among the cat community. Is that one of your goals?
Absolutely. I definitely want the community to be more involved. When I moved here, it was still kind of difficult to do TNR. So things have really been changing. Savannah has a large port and there's tons of cats there. And since I moved here, we have been trying and trying and trying to get them to allow TNR. And they really didn't understand until finally we got a new person in charge there. We explained how TNR works and why it works. And they finally, for the first time, have allowed a local feral cat rescue to go in and trap cats on the porch. So I really feel like this is going to help educate people and help reduce the amount of cats that we have. Another long-term impact that's important to me is for the local people that do foster neonatal kittens to learn how to do it properly.
Yes, I think those are, first of all, great job on the porch getting them to TNR. And then neonatal kittens, that we don't have time to get into all that, but it is way more intense than just bottle feeding a little kitten and going to sleep and that's it. It's a huge procedure.
It is. It is. But we have a lot of people that do it.
Right. There's not a lot. And I know Hannah Shaw has done a lot to promote that, but you're doing so much to also promote it. And I hope you get a lot of other helpers in your area. Thank you. And thank you for educating them. Thank you in advance. Lisa, from your professional view, how do you think cat shows help improve awareness of feline health, fear, and welfare to the community and probably to the maybe some of the veterinary hospitals in the area?
Yeah, so I think that the way WhiskerCon is headed, which is a cat show that's about education and not about showing off, let's say, a certain breed or several breeds, et cetera, that is where I'd like to see pet parents go. I think that is our opportunity to change the way cats are treated in their pet homes and to change the pet parents' kind of knowledge of who their cats are and what their cats need. Because you and I have talked previously about what I think is kind of the biggest challenge we have as pet parents and as veterinary professionals is the difference between pet parent wants and cat needs. And I think when we go to a cat show where there's all these different breeds, it's romanticized. Who doesn't want a Maine Coon? For God's sake, they're gorgeous, right? But who's talking about the health and welfare of that cat and what that cat really needs to have the best life for the next 20 years? And I'd like to see pet parents flocking to educational resources that are also fun, like they're doing at WhiskerCon, so that they will come home with the knowledge to improve the lives of their pets that are already in their home.
And I think you kind of answered this question, but I've had people that I've talked to and they thought, you know, a cat event like WhiskerCon, CatCon was mostly, oh, people dress up their cats and walk around. And so that's what I've heard from people that have not gone to a lot of cat shows or maybe went to one that's what that was about.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're each different in their own way. I think they all have different focuses and you won't see cats at ours. So ours is going to be a little different in that way as well.
Well, I can say this. I think that some pet parents are going to be excited. These are my people, like Katie said. Some pet parents are going to go, I don't need to do that. I already know all about cats. Why wouldn't I want to go to a cat show? Like instead of going to learn about cats, because I know about cats. That's the greatest misconception is that you think you know more than you do. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And I, as a board and veterinary behaviorist for, you know, decades, I'm still learning from my own cat and from the pet parents that bring their cats to me. You don't know it all about your cat, even if you're a true cat lover. And this is the opportunity to dig deep and to learn about your kitty, to increase that bond and to come home with kind of a new respect and knowledge for what cats are.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've had the pleasure of speaking to probably about 300 cat professionals over the years, and I still learn about cats all the time. I like to keep that open mind with everything because, you know, not just cats. It's served me well, and I try to keep that mindset, but absolutely agree with you. Okay, so Katie and Lisa, what changes have you both seen in the cat world over the last few years that make events like this more important than ever?
So what I've seen is a lot more on social media as far as enrichment items and like helping cats how to scratch properly or giving cat grass for the cats that are living inside and don't go outside. I just feel like social media has really, really taught people a lot more than they ever realized. Years ago, I would hear people would go out of town and leave their cat home alone for the entire weekend. And now I think with all of the information out there on social media and learning about all the different things that cats really need. They're not animals that you just lock up and play with them when you feel like it. They need things. And I think people are really starting to learn more about that. The more people that talk on social media about enrichment and behavior and things like that, it's very getting out there a lot more. People are understanding more.
Yeah, I would agree with Katie, and I would piggyback on that, that companies that make things for animals have realized that cats are really important. And, you know, 10 years ago, I had this little short list of things that I could tell clients to purchase for their cats. Now, my list is so long. There are so many opportunities to purchase great toys and to entertain your cat. And you can put shelves on your wall and hammocks that are near the window. There's just everything. And so our cats have a lot of opportunities to live better lives now because companies are realizing that the people that love cats are more than happy to buy the things that will help their cats be happier, just like dog pet parents are.
Great point. I absolutely agree. On my other show, it's a product show, Best Bets for Pets, and we would have products. And every time we talk, I said, well, you talked about this for dogs. When's the cat version coming out? Yeah. And they'd say, oh, you know what? We have to start thinking that way.
Yeah. Dogs are not hard to entertain. Cats, you know, I buy more for my cat than for, you know, when my dog, he passed away, but when he was with us, because the cat is so smart that you cannot just put a box of toys in front of him. You have to be thinking, what does he want today? How is today different? Whereas I could put a box of squeakies in front of my dog and he'd carry the same squeaky, God love him, for, you know, a decade. And you really have to try to outthink cats. And so I buy a lot of different things for him. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. If you were each to give one piece of advice to someone attending WhiskerCon, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say plan it like a trip. There's so many things and it's very easy to miss things there. I would make sure I knew all of the vendors, all the speakers, where are they speaking? When are they speaking? Sometimes there's multiple rooms with multiple things going on at the same time. So I would look at the schedule and I would make a plan. And I would also save some money because there's a lot of really cool things to get for your cats when you go to these types of conventions.
Katie, where can people find out more about WhiskerCon in Savannah, Georgia? And when is it?
It's Valentine's weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And you can just go to WhiskerCon Savannah on either Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, thanks. Lisa, do you have any advice you would give someone attending the WhiskerCon in Savannah, Georgia?
Yeah, I'm going to steal from you, Michelle. I agree with you, but I'm going to recognize I'm stealing from you. Come with an open mind. Because for those of us that have had, I've had cats since I was, what, like 7 years old. Okay. So it's easy to walk into that and go, she's wrong. She's wrong. That guy's wrong. Come in with that really curious child's mind. Because my goal for people that go to WhiskerCon is to come out knowing more than when they came, so that their cats and the cats of the people they know, right, will have happier, more fulfilled lives.
And that is my last question. I say you just gave me your answer. I wanted to ask you, what do you hope every visitor walks away with after attending WhiskerCon? So I guess you're psychic too, Lisa, because what would you say, Lisa, as far as, you know, if there's something that every visitor takes away, what would you want it to be once they leave WhiskerCon? Besides coming back next year.
Yes, of course, coming back next year. The one thing I would want them to take away is a little inspiration. How can they help the kitties that don't have homes? The kitties that don't have homes are, they're everywhere. And it's not just Savannah, it's in your own neighborhood. and it's in your community, and there's so many cats that need help, and people still believe that you can cut a cat loose and just put it out and it'll survive, right? So I hope they come away inspired. What can you do in your neighborhood? Maybe you cannot be Katie Cohen and you can't be tube feeding kittens, right? But what can you do to help the cats that don't have anybody?
Okay, thank you. What would you tell them, Kate? What do you hope every visitor walks away with after attending WhiskerCon?
I hope the first thing they think is, wow, that was amazing. And then I hope that it inspires them to get involved, kind of like what Lisa was saying, but I would love for them to get involved with the rescue. There's so many different ways. You don't have to foster. You can drive supplies. We have a program where we have a pet food bank and we drive supplies to people that need supplies for their pets. I mean, there's so many ways. I just really hope that people learn a lot more. They're more educated and they're more likely to get involved and want to help out our community.
Okay, thank you so much, Lisa and Katie, for coming on Catitude. Katie, one more time, where can people find out more of the website?
They can go to WhiskerCon Savannah on either Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, thank you so much. I know the show is going to be fantastic. So again, thank you both for coming on Catitude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I hope everyone listening enjoyed the show. I mean, all of us cat lovers, we love our cats. And what better to go to a cat show and find out more, especially WhiskerCon. This is going to be a different type of show. And I think you're going to, you know, if you're able to make it to Savannah, Georgia, Valentine's Day weekend. By the way, it's a romantic kind of place, Savannah. So highly recommend it for, you know, just for anyone. It's a great way to treat yourself for Valentine's Day weekend. Anyway, it's WhiskerCon Savannah, Valentine's Day weekend 2026. I would like to thank Dr. Lisa Radosta as well as Katie Cohen for coming on Catitude and telling us all about WhiskerCon. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. They continue to teach me about cats every single day, and I am getting better all the time. Always more I could learn. Thank you to listeners of Catitude. I appreciate you being so loyal all over the years. Thank you for your listenership. And of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer. Thank you so much, Mark Winter, for all you do. Editing is not easy, and he is a master. So thank you, Mark. And hey, remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.